Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hast spoken peace to our hearts. Thou hast promised us forgiveness for our sins, deliverance from those things which bind us, cleansing from things which have stained us in heart and mind, and strengthening for every good thing. We thank Thee for it, and we pray Thee now, Father, as we read and study Thy Word, that Thou wilt graciously open the eyes of our hearts that we might understand these things and grow in them. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. Our study in the Gospel according to Matthew brings us now in the 21st chapter, Matthew 21, to verses 28 to 32. We may have in mind as we approach this portion of Scripture that when the Lord came to take the throne that was designed for Him by His Father in heaven, and that throne was in the hearts of men, for He was to rule, that men often had their hearts and have their hearts full of their own ideas. Our minds, human minds, are often full of our own ways. And the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts makes a certain preliminary experience or event necessary. There is a preparation to be made on our part before we can receive Him. For if He is to be on the throne, and He is to be on the throne in our hearts, His will must prevail. If I'm going to enthrone Him in me, there must be a willingness on my part to yield my will into His will. In other words, human beings, men, must be willing to yield to Him in obedience in order to let His will be done. The individual believer must deny himself, that he must set aside himself. Now, when you say deny yourself, that doesn't mean that you deny that you exist, because of course you do. It doesn't mean that you deny you have ideas, because of course you have ideas. But it means that you put all your own ideas and your own thoughts and your own preferences and your own notions and your own intentions in second place. You set them aside. You judge yourself as being inadequate. You even judge yourself as being wrong in the sight of God, that He might come in and take over. Now, this is what the word repent really means. And just now, as we're reading along in the Gospel according to Matthew, and we're noticing things that happened as the Lord Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem to take over the place that was planned for Him of His Father, we come now to a place in the Scripture where He interprets something to the people by use of a parable. And this short passage of Scripture we're looking at, Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32, is actually a short parable that is quite well known, I think, to all of us. We read in verse 28, where the Lord Jesus said, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.'" There is a command that calls for obedience. Whatever the son may have had in mind, any other intentions he had in mind, he should set them aside. Go work today in my vineyard. Don't go work in yours. Don't go and do the best you can. But you come and go to work in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. The first response of this individual son was to say no. But afterward he repented. Now the word repent is, he judged his action in saying no as being unworthy. He evaluated himself and decided that his outlook was not good. So he went, doing what the father wanted him to do. And he came to the second and said likewise. And that is, he said to the second son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Said he would, but actually when it came to going, he didn't go. And you and I know perfectly well from ordinary human experience, and that's what this is supposed to be based upon, it meant he had other things to do. Whether of the twain did the will of his father? It sounds so simple, and yet it is so profound. The person who said he would and didn't, or the person who said he wouldn't and did. They say unto him, the first, he was the one that said, no, I won't go, and then repented and went. Jesus saith unto him, unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Now if you look back to verse 23, you'll see who he's talking to. He's talking to the chief priests and the elders of the people. They are the leaders in the religious life of the city. And he is saying to them that the publicans and the harlots, the publicans are people who live worldly lives, quite apart from what their particular activity may have been back in the days of the Lord 2,000 years ago. With us, there would be people who live worldly lives, and harlots with us would be people who live sinful lives. So these worldly, sinful people go into the kingdom of God before you. Now, you'll have to read on for to fully understand this, because, of course, you'll know right away that doesn't mean that these worldly, sinful people in their worldliness and in their sinfulness go into the kingdom of God. No, and that's not the idea. But people who by character are actually worldly, and by character and past record are actually sinful, many of them go into the kingdom of God before many of the religious people go. Now listen. And in verse 32 is the explanation. John came unto you in the way of righteousness. Now we all know what John the Baptist did. He preached repent. And here the Lord calls that in the way of righteousness. Which is to say, John came to you preaching along the line that would have produced righteousness. In the way, along that line that would have produced righteousness, and you believed him not. This gives you a good chance to look at that word believe. Believing is more than just accepting the other man's statement as factually correct or historically correct. Believing is more than just believing that he told the truth. Believing has in it obeying. You believed him not, meaning to say you did not do what he said. He said to repent and you didn't do it. Now he came in the way of righteousness. He came preparing the way for righteousness. He came opening the way up for people to get right with God, which was that they should judge themselves in repentance and yield themselves to God. And you believed him not. You didn't obey him. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. This is not by way of saying that all the publicans and all the harlots, but as a class, the response among them was genuine. They believed him, which is to say, they responded to him. Now, what is believing him is not so much that it means to say they believed that he told the truth, as much as to say they followed his advice. They followed his invitation, his command. The Lord goes on to say, and ye, when ye had seen it, you religious leaders, when you saw how it affected those common people, repented not afterward. You didn't reflect on your own attitude that you might believe him, that you might obey him. They didn't change their ways, despite the fact that they saw that people did turn to God through the preaching of John the Baptist. These religious leaders actually were incorrigible in this. They would not judge themselves as unworthy, because that's, of course, what they were to do. Now, when you go back to this statement again, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you, I call that a startling statement, because you know what that's saying. That's saying that many worldly, sinful people turn to God before many people who are active and religious and prominent in church life. That's what it means. Many known sinners, people that everybody knows are sinners, they know they're sinners, everybody else does know they're sinners, are saved before many of religious people, people who have made a show of their trying to do the right thing, would be. And why? Is it not really because those wicked people, those worldly people, those sinful people, they repent. That is, they judge themselves as unfit. Whereas, on the other hand, many of the religious folks who have made a show of their religion, they don't judge themselves as unfit. They think they're better than other people, and they think they can make it. Now, John preached repentance in the way of righteousness, along the line that would have produced righteousness, which is to say, along the line that would have led a man to get right with God. And these religious people didn't follow John, because John laid it out at the outset that they were to judge themselves and they were to repent. Even after the common run of people turned and were converted and were saved, even after there were outstanding cases of people who turned to God through the preaching of John the Baptist, these religious people did not afterward repent. After they had a chance to see it, they didn't change their minds, but they were incorrigible and obdurate, we would say. They were stubborn in their self-approval. I think this is most sobering. In this day and time in which we live, we have a lot of people in church who've been there ever since they were children. They don't want to hear anybody talk about being converted. They don't want to hear anybody talking about receiving the Holy Spirit of God. They don't want anyone to raise any question about their personal relationship with God. They resent it if you say to them that they're not everything they ought to be. It's a sad thing. Some of those people are going to lose out. May the Lord help us from ever being like that. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us by thy Holy Spirit to see the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to admit and to confess our own shortcomings and weaknesses. Help us, our Father, to admit sin and to turn our backs on it, and to turn to thee that we might be saved. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.